Depending where you live in Arizona, you might be real close to a home show going on today. There's the home show going on down in Casa Grande at the Promenade, just east of Interstate 10 on the north side of the major exchange there. And we've got the Rosie on the House broadcast promotion team there, Lance and Jen. If you're looking for the 2020 edition of the Rosie on the House home maintenance calendar, they've got hundreds of them down there in the promotional van that they can get you a free copy. Just walk up and ask for one. And then we've got some products from our e-commerce store out on display. And Lance and Jen are there to answer any question you might have about what we do at Rosie on the House. So that's the Casa Grande home show. They've also got the home and garden show right here in Phoenix going on. And I'm asked all the time, how do you know which contractors at the home show you should seriously consider? And that's a hard question, but it's no harder than the population in general. How do you know which contractors to use whenever you're trying to select a home service provider? There are good and bad contractors everywhere. But if you're at the Maricopa County Home Show, I can tell you this. We've got lots of Rosie on the House home partners displaying their Rosie on the House certification insignia. CYC Landscaping, Durafrome Roofing, Green ID, Irwin's, Isley's, New Flow, Pella, Ray of Light, Ramjack, Todd Whitaker Drywall, TWD, and Tecna are just some of the Rosie Certified partners you can find at the Maricopa County Home Show today. Our ongoing topic of safety. I'll tell you one thing, as far as choosing a contractor, something we're seeing at Rosie Wright Remodeling a lot right now is we're bound by law to pull permits when required. We're seeing a lot of people ignoring the permitting process, just blowing right past it. If your contractor at your house talking to you about your project isn't talking to you about pulling a permit, isn't talking to you, we have to, by law, according to when your home was built, test for lead and or asbestos. If they aren't testing your home for lead and or asbestos, they're not abiding by the law. They're cutting corners. If they're not pulling permits, they're cutting corners. So if they'll cut corners there, and that's in their DNA, what's going to keep them from cutting corners on the entire project? So that's one of the trick questions you can have when you're interviewing a remodeling contractor. When you interview two or three of them and you've got it narrowed down to the one who always showed up on time and the one who was always prepared with what he or she said they'd have ready for you to review, and they weren't making excuses on why they couldn't get there or why they couldn't finish the drawing or why they couldn't finish the preliminary estimate. Just before you select them, ask them, who's going to pull my permit? And you as the homeowner want the permit. It's in your interest to have the permit in the contractor's name, okay? And then you also want to ask, does my house require asbestos testing? Does my house require lead testing? And if they look at you like a deer in headlights, you now know you've asked all the right questions, and you can confirm in your head and your heart that you have the wrong person at your house you're interviewing for the job. Okay? There's some great trick questions on how to keep you safe. If they're not tending to these details up front, they aren't going to tend to the details once you sign that contract. You know, we hear stories all the time about jobs that go over budget and go over schedule. It's because somebody's not paying attention to the details. So I'm about ready to go off. And I'm so tired of taking phone calls at the office. Well, we didn't use a Rosie certified contractor, but we sure got problems and we want you to come rescue us.
I did just have a lady call in and she was wanting to know if she should use a contractor. She wanted to get some work done and their license was expired. And I asked her why she didn't just use ours, because we do more than just check a license. We check their credit, their history, their bank, their last customers, last 20 customers. So we do a lot more in-depth research than you can by yourself. And then you got Rosie on your side, too.
And you've got to ask, why was the license expired? During the Great Recession, contractors quit getting notices. I mean, historically, we always got notices. Your license is due renewal in 60 days. And so it kind of triggered you could take care of it. Well, those notices quit. So I will say this. A lot of good contractors through the Great Recession had little bitty periods of time where their license was suspended for non-renewal.
We have had an uptick in that because for that very reason. And they thank us when we call them. She asked if it was okay to call them and ask them. I said, absolutely. You know, it was the holidays for one thing, and then not getting the notices.
And the other trick question is you could have a current license but have an expired liability insurance policy. So you want to know from their insurance provider. Don't ask them to provide it. You want their insurance broker to give you an insurance certificate that shows that the policy ends 3 months, at least 3 months after your job is supposed to be finished. And then you've got to ask them about course of construction insurance. That's something that's never talked about.
So expensive to be in business. It's and to legally be in business, I should say.
Amen.
And one other thing on expired licenses, you don't see this as much anymore, but when they started going away from having a specialty residential electrical license and a specialty commercial, you could get a dual, so you wouldn't have to have two licenses. One license would cover your residential and commercial.
Electricity works the same.
Plumbing works the same. Trim carpentry works the same.
You can get involved in higher amperage and wattage commercially, but it all works the same.
So you may end up in a case where you let your residential and commercial license go, because to get a dual residential commercial license, it's a different number. So they may have let their old ones expire because they have a new dual purpose license. So just checking, you know, when you see that, there's no alarm. They're just cutting their costs by going to a dual license and having one instead of paying for two licenses.
Now, if the company you're considering, you can go to the Registrar of Contractors website and plug in their name and see how many licenses they've been the qualifying party for. And I would tell you that if it looks like they're going through a license about every 5 or 6 years, it might be a cause for concern. So those are all, we're talking safety, and these are all safety questions you need to deal with before you hire a contractor.
And the red flag you're looking for there is the company name changing every 5 years, because, you know, they go in business, they go out of business, then they just start a new company under a different name and get a different license. And again, those records are still kept online about all those previous companies through the Registrar of Contractors.
That's right.
So that's your alarming point there, is maybe this isn't somebody that's capable of staying in business any longer than 4 or 5 years before, you know, all the snowball effect kicks in of, you know, getting this job sold and you're using the down payment for the Johnsons to finish the Howard's job over here at this other residence because you over budgeted it and they're not going to pay anymore for the over budget aspect. So to finish the job, you're taking down payment from this customer to finish this job on this other residence. And, you know, that we see that, or, you know, he's got to pay the big note on the boat he bought last week because he thought he was going to close a $500,000 job that didn't come through. And
or he got that big deposit check on the big job and he hadn't gotten any bills on that job yet. So he looks at his bank account and he sees this huge, ginormous amount of money in there and figures a boat's a good way to do it.
It's kind robbing Peter to pay Paul principle.
That is, exactly. Yeah. So all things we're trying to encourage you to be safe about, okay? Our article of the week is home hazards to be safe from. And we've talked about ladders. We've talked about bagels. We've talked about avocados. If you want to know how to be safe, save yourself from the bagel and the avocado attack, you have to go back to the last segment and podcast it to get that. But age, when we meet with homeowners, we're often inquiring as to the age of the inhabitants and the regular visitors to this home and things we can do to accommodate all ages. Of course, what causes more emergency room visits for young children than anything else is falls. And it's generally off a bicycle, a hoverboard, a skateboard.
Trampoline,
playground equipment. So I don't know what to tell you about that. I mean, you can't raise your kid in a padded room. You know, you got to get them out there and let them learn the adventure of a little adrenaline rush every now and again. But there's more safety equipment for kids to wear right now than ever before.
Yeah, we've got we've got all those things. We've got trampolines. We've got monkey bars. We've got swings. We've got pole slides.
Horses.
That's a whole different level of safety going into mounting your kid on a 1,200-pound animal. So,
yeah,
gotta live.
As a kid growing up, you didn't. You can't live without the enjoyment of Mercurochrome.
Romy doesn't even know what that
okay,
is.
Okay, yeah. It was nicknamed monkey blood. I don't know if it ever cured the cut, but Mom always put it on
burns.
There too as well.
It
oh,
burns.
And tetanus shots. Got to have one or two of those in your life.
That's still a thing.
Safety. And then when we're looking at an aging population, you know, we're mentioning ladder falls. Well, getting in and out of the bathtub is bathroom falls. You've got a wet, slippery surface. That's a big fall area as well. And there's a lot of new things in construction and aging in place and bathroom products that make that room a lot safer than we were making them for years.
We do have on our blog, you can find that on our website or you can find it in your newsletter or on Facebook. But there's at the end of the article, there's lots of links to other articles and there's quite some in-depth things to think about if you have an aging in place situation. So there's lots of little tips that don't cost a lot of money.
A lot. And I'll tell you, when I did come home from the hospital, I was challenged in my balance. And more than a couple times stepping out of the shower, it was a slip and catch. I never fell, but it was a slip and catch. And Jennifer had one of the guys from the remodeling company go down and pick up this cushion flooring that you see in a lot of restaurants behind the bar area.
Mm.
And she had it cut to the size of the shower so it couldn't slide around and move. I don't know why every shower doesn't have one of those.
And is it like an anti-slip or like
if you fall, it
gives you a cushion bounce?
Well, it would do both. It would do both. But just to order a sheet of that and cut it to fit the size of your shower, you never have to worry about your feet being slippery on the bottom of the tile and the soap and the shampoo. And I don't know that I'm ever going to have a shower without that in it.
It's like little open hexagons, Romy. Can you picture that? Like a mat. But it is a little bit of a complicated to clean. And just a little bit of a task. You know, you have to remove it. It's a little bit heavy, so you got to pull it out and clean up underneath there. But it has been just foolproof as far as falling. And we also had a bar put in, so you just can't go wrong with those two things.
And our master bathroom, the shower only has about an inch and a half lip you have to step over to get in and out. And in the hall bathroom, it's a bathroom tub combo, you know, those traditional style you've seen for thousands of homes have them. And occasionally I end up taking a shower in the hall bathroom when all six of us get home from a rodeo. You know, it's easier for the two boys to go in the hall bathroom and the girls take the master bathroom and everyone's, you know, ready for a shower. Like, man, this is a pain in the neck stepping in and out of this thing.
It's what you're used to.